each of you have had a time in your life when you really believed something was there before your eyes and it was true and real, and you even recalled it to others and then might have found out that that wasn't actually the truth. For example, you might believe that you are wearing a pair of navy pants. Like, you might swear beyond, like, a shadow of a doubt that navy is the color of your attire, right? And when somebody actually says, no, it's black. Like, I'm sorry, it's not navy, it's black. And you really actually kind of figured out that your pants were not navy. And then you're like, oh my gosh, I'm wrong, right? I mean, have you ever done that? Like, where you thought maybe something was something and it ended up not being it? Well, and maybe you've believed, like, I've had this happen to me where I've been, like, in a restaurant or a mall and I saw somebody walking down the hallway and I was like, oh, that's such and such, that's Mary, you know? And I'm like, hey, Mary, you know, and I'm calling out to her, waving. And of course, the person does not turn around. And then eventually I catch up with the person and what? It's not Mary. I mean, she looked like Mary, and I thought for sure it was Mary, and I called out to Mary, but it wasn't Mary. Or maybe, and I've seen people do this, they swear on up and down and sideways that the book that they were reading was on their nightside table, right? I mean, they could have said, hey, I promise you under my entire life that it's there, right? And they go to the nightside table and what? It's not there. And it's on the couch. And then, who moved my book, right? It was on this nightstand table and it's not there. You know, and you could have sworn, right? You would have, you know, said for sure it was there, but it was on the couch, right? A ghost moved it is really what happened, right? We often see things as truth before us, but yet they are blurry. In the New Testament, there are stories about people who were blind before they encountered Jesus. In Mark's gospel, he chooses to feature two blind men in particular, one after the other. And there seems to be frustration in Mark's gospel when he depicts Jesus, because he shares these wonderfully profound truths with the disciples who are his friends. And the disciples seem to what? Not always get it, right? Do you guys ever get frustrated with anybody who, you know, you share these profound truths with them and what? They look at you like you have five heads. And you know what you're saying is really meaningful, right? And they can't get it. And it seems really surprising to me when you study the Bible, because the people that mostly get Jesus right away are the strangers that barely knew him. It was almost like the people that knew him well, you know, things just went flying over their heads. But the people that didn't even know him, like the woman that had been hemorrhaging for all those years, and she reached out and touched his cloak, believing that it could cure her. So the one story in the Gospel of Mark of a Jesus healing is found where there is a beggar and is brought by some friends to Bethsaida and asks Jesus to touch him. And Jesus does. He takes him outside the town. He leads him there by the hand. And he reaches and touches his eyes. And the man, this is really unusual, because the man at first really can't see. And Jesus says, can you see anything? And the blind man responded, I see men, but they're sort of as trees walking along, is what the blind man answered. And Jesus laid his hands on the blind man's eyes for a second time, and his sight was restored. And the formerly blind man began to see everything clearly. Let's move away just for a second. At a Salvation Army drug recovery program, they had a worship service once. And there was a rock band that came to play during the worship service. And it was called Men Like Trees Walking. during their song lineup on a Sunday, they played a famous Johnny Nash song. Do you know it? I can see clearly now, the rain has gone. Do you know it? Yeah? You probably could sing it much better than me, and I have a terrible voice. So, but anyway, it says, I can see clearly now, the rain has gone, right? I can see all obstacles in my way. Yeah, something like that, right? And then, gone are the dark clouds that had me blind. It's going to be a bright, 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 sunshiny day, right? Okay, something like that. And in the congregation, while they're singing this Johnny Nash song, right, there were people in recovery. Many of the people in attendance had suffered from years and years of drug abuse or alcoholism. And this band, as it was singing, gone are the dark clouds, it reminded them that their past was filled with memories, which included seeing and remembering things. Some truths, right? But mostly blurred and fuzzy remembrances. Like trees walking around. And this band sang good news to these people, reminding them that in Jesus, they are healed and completely can see clearly. There was a book by a journalist who was a former atheist, actually, and lived in San Francisco, named Sarah Miles. And she wrote a book, and she came to know Jesus, and ironically, we're having communion today, and her story about her faith experience happened at a communion table in an Episcopalian church. And the church actually had its communion table in the narthex, under the theology that the communion table might be the first place. So it would be like picking up our table and moving it, like, over to the door, wherever people mainly came in, right? It would be the first thing you would see, the communion table. And when you first came in, the communion table was there to remind you to meet Jesus first thing. And Sarah was so taken when she learned the idea of sharing communion, of sharing food as a community, that she opened up a food pantry right there on the communion table. And every Sunday when people would come in, there would be food available for the hungry laying on the table. And it attracted a wonderful congregation made up of former drug addicts, homeless veterans, laid off workers, mentally ill, immigrants, disabled folks, and hardworking people who barely could make ends meet. And after a couple of months, Sarah noticed that some of the people coming to get groceries started showing up early. And even though they didn't have anything to share, they helped her to put together the food pantry and made little packages to hand out to others. And at first she was like, I wonder why they're doing that. You know, she was a former atheist, right? And a journalist, so she was trying to find out the answer. And then it made sense to her that what they really wanted was to be part of a community. They wanted to feel welcome, to be respected, and to be loved. And how they would learn to do that is by sharing welcome with others, by respecting those that came to the table for the first time, and by demonstrating love with a tender and sharing heart. There's a quote that says, how we see things affects everything. I don't know if you know the Bible well, but Paul in Corinthians says, now I see in a mirror dimly, but then I will see face to face. We as human beings, without the eyes of Christ, see things a certain way. And I'm going to give you some parallels. Perhaps if you're not really close to Jesus, you see stewardship as a burden instead of a joy. Perhaps you see helping the homeless as enabling the lazy instead of teaching welcome and respect. Perhaps we see children as loud and disruptive instead of young and vibrant and full of hope. how we see things affects everything. We do see things dimly, as men like trees walking. And we often miss what is right before us in its truth. The next story that Mark shares about a healing of a blind man is about Bartimaeus. Bartimaeus, unlike the first story, is healed immediately. There's none of the blurry, men like trees walking stuff. The blind man of Bethsaida saw first through a glass darkly and then immediately saw it clearly. And I think Mark, in his telling of these two stories, shares with us how our own encounter with Jesus can be different. Sometimes we might hear the good news of Jesus and it might settle in our heart and we might think about it and like it and it sounds nice, but it doesn't truly open our eyes. We almost need a second encounter, or maybe a third or fourth or fifth or sixth, right? Other people come along and amazingly, Jesus touches their lives and their eyes are immediately opened. Kind of like when Mary was sharing with the children about putting glasses on for the first time, right? They can see things really clear and it impacts their life right away. But I think, honestly, most of us are like the first man. Even though we are Christian and we go through days where we all do the right thing, right? I mean, everything comes easily, and it's easy to remember the stranger and to say hello to somebody that's hurting and to make a phone call to our mom or dad who's sick or to, you know, pick up something for nice. But the next day, I mean, the very next day, it's like nothing goes right. I mean, you slip over your slippers at the side of your bed and fall down, and it's all history from there, right? You wish you could just go back in bed and start over, right? We all have days like that. We don't mean to. But we are blind to the teachings of Jesus and to what is right in front of us. When you look at your enemy, what do you see? Do you see anger and greed? Do you see hatred and evil? Or do you see a soul that has the opportunity to turn a different way? Do we only see the times we are petty and arrogant and quickly jump to conclusions and cast blame before we know all the facts? I think of those as obstacles in the way of our vision, stopping us from having the right perspective, dark lenses that keep us from seeing things clearly. Even in the song, if you were listening to Johnny Nash, the obstacles did not disappear. Instead, you could see all of them in your way, clearly. Once we learn to recognize the obstacles that are before us, we can look to the future and we can change our lives. Have you ever seen the Discovery Channel's show Mythbusters? Have you ever seen that? One time they had this episode where there was an obstacle course and they brought these teens out. Have you ever seen this episode? It was a while ago. But anyway, and they had them navigate this obstacle course in the dark. Can you imagine how they did? Well, you know, they tripped over themselves and bumped into things and fell everywhere, right? I mean, they're trying to feel their way and it's all dark, right? And they didn't do very well. But when they did it again, they let them turn the lights on for just a few seconds before the obstacle course began and then turn them off. So it was still dark when they did it, but they had an opportunity to see it and then pursue it. And they did dramatically well. It's kind of like what a Christian journey is all about. Learning to follow Jesus through the obstacles that are before us, but having the light of Jesus to guide our way. In our passage from Habakkuk, it's actually better for me to understand it from the message. I'm almost done, don't worry. And it says the following. What's God going to say to my questions? I'm braced for the worst. I'll climb to the lookout tower and scan the horizon. I'll wait to see what God says and how he'll answer my complaints. Full of self, but soul empty. And then God answered, "Write this, write what you see, write it out in big block letters so that it can be read on the run. This vision message is a witness pointing to what is coming. It aches for the coming. It can hardly wait, and it does not lie. If it seems slow in coming, wait. It's on its way. It will come right on time." I wish I could tell you that the life around us is fair and wonderful and reasonable and fabulous. And I really actually can tell you that. But to live in the midst of our obstacles, to face them and challenge ourselves to overcome them, our vision is how we get through. And the vision that is cast before us is the good news. That one day all the mysteries that remain unknown to us will be revealed. And we will see clearly. For now and forevermore. Amen. We're going to move into communion. And I want you to turn around and look at the person next to you.